Wednesday edition.
The So Long Narv Dog, We Hardly Knew You edition. Nice kid. Hope he finds an opportunity elsewhere down the road. But he is no longer a Green Bay Packer edition. The welcome to the Kicking Carousel, Brandon McManus. How do we feel about this? Better, worse, or the same edition? And the, wow, boring you already. Man, usually try to come out of the gate, get me engaged edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, what is this, 3 days of work in a row for you now?
Well, I mean, Pablo's been with him for...
Jeez, Pablo, get away from the camera.
He loves that camera.
Stand on the other side, man.
Yeah, he's a TV guy.
It's tight quarters back here. That's our issue.
It's not that tight. I've been in there. I've run the hot keys. Well,
believe me, it's tighter quarters when you're back here.
That's not fair. Just because you're skinny now doesn't mean you can start fat
shaming. I'm not saying it.
No, but you just did.
You're right, I did.
Now that you're a skinny guy.
It was tough with you in here.
Okay.
Well, that's not very nice. That's Jesse Nelson's voice.
No, it's jerk-storish, but he's a skinny jerk now. He used to be a kind of a chubby, jolly guy. Now he's a skinny jerk.
Yeah. He's a big jerk, even though he's a smaller guy. He is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, along with Pablo Iglesias, and along with the Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are things at ESPN Madison World Headquarters and the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios?
Well, there's somebody out there, and I think this might be one of the toughest jobs or the most dangerous, and I don't know how much they get paid, so I can't tell you.
Oh, dear.
The window cleaners. We have these beautiful, I'm assuming, Pella windows.
I would assume.
If they're not, they certainly should be, and we'll get to that in 15, 20, 25 minutes, wherever Jason decides to run that.
Yeah, exactly.
But the window cleaners. And we saw this. I was over at Camp Randall last week when the window cleaners were there, and they're rappelling off of the suites and cleaning all the windows. And it was windy, and I was literally thinking, I wonder if the bang is worth the buck. Like, because that is a dangerous, that's a dangerous gig. And I don't know how much money they make. Like, I have no clue. But I'm just watching them, they're craning around. It's different here. This cat's in a crane. That's different.
This cat's in a crane.
But they're rappelling down in their way. And I just wondered, from a risk-reward standpoint, if that's juice is worth the squeeze. And I don't know. Must be.
Are they're like rappelling down, like they're not they're just attached to the rope system, or they're on a base, you know, like a little, like
Look,
a little.
Here, this, the people out at our Everlight Solar Studio here, they're in a crane, in a,
like a bucket. Yeah.
The folks that were doing stuff over at Camp Randall were not in a bucket.
They're not on like a one piece of a scaffolding and they're, no.
No, it's like they're mountain climbers, rock climbing.
Yeah,
maybe Windy.
Maybe. Unlike you, and certainly unlike me, maybe they get a bit of a rush from being up high. They're not afraid of heights. I'm sure they're well compensated, but I don't know how.
I would
well.
Think that they have to be. Otherwise, it wouldn't make a ton of sense.
Why would you do it? Right? Yeah. Who's going to take that job? Well, we are appreciative of their work.
For sure.
Even if we're questioning whether it's worth the risk.
No, I just think from a risk-reward standpoint, it's got to be up right at the top of that list.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
But you can't see them now.
you can see the television. He just kind of went out. Yeah, he's good. Yeah. So I'm good. I'm not distracted.
What are the other risky jobs? Like the person who puts in the overview
to me,
railing?
Being in a mine, miners have very risky jobs. I think deep sea recovery is a very the fishing guys that go out in the choppy waters and do that's risky. Like, those are three that just come off the top of my head. I think umpiring is risky for
what?
No, I do. The amount of verbal beating you take as an ump.
That's
prepares you well to be a radio producer.
Yeah, you got it rough. 3 days a week. I don't know. The whole thing, like, those would be three or four or five jobs that I would just wonder, okay, I don't know. They're being in minor would be one of the tougher gigs.
Have you ever thought about the people who put in, like, the walkways for national parks or, like, when you're at, like, a waterfall and you have, like, the overview where you can go stand?
Yeah, I like those
like,
spots.
Like, who puts those things in?
Concrete workers.
Because that's got to be pretty risky, isn't it?
It is, but I think if you're building bridges, and I always love that picture back in the, I don't know, 20, you know, whenever the Industrial Revolution just kind of got rolling and they had all the people eating their lunch, sitting up on top of steel beams. And Jesse, I know you can pull that picture up. They're just sitting there eating and sipping coffee.
It's a great picture.
It kind of tells you all about the Industrial Revolution and what it was like. There were no harnesses. There were no ropes. They were just out there working. I think building bridges now and all that stuff, there's so much advanced architecture and things like that. Yeah, look at, there's the picture.
On for everyone to see it. This is only you seeing this.
Yeah, well, that is the picture.
I was like, wait, what picture?
So, those would be the jobs. But, yeah, every job's got risk. I just feel like when people are fluttering through the sky with a chamois washing down the windows, I'm thinking, man, that seems like a lot of risk. That's all.
So again, we emphasize thank you for your service, and 100%. We actually mean it.
No,
100%. As opposed to sarcastically to each other.
And I think you have to there's probably weight restrictions on those jobs. Like, I don't think
so.
They
what
want
are you heavy. Saying? You think Jesse could do the job now?
Jesse could. Yeah, Jesse definitely could go and be a window folk if that's what he was wanting to do. There you go.
Thank you to everyone who does much riskier things than us.
Can you imagine sitting there and you got to be like Simone Biles to get to the platform? Like, you got to balance beam walk off as you're like hitting hot iron and putting stuff together. What a time in our country, huh?
What a time to be alive. All right. So as much as I would love to talk about dangerous jobs, how about high pressure, oft criticized jobs like, say, NFL kicker? The Packers making a change in their kicking situation. The carousel keeps spinning. And now, Brandon McManus replaces Braden Narveson as your Packers kicker. Packers worked him out yesterday, signed him shortly thereafter. Braden Narveson will be released to open up the roster spot for McManus.
We think.
I'm pretty sure, based on a couple conversations I had, didn't talk to you. How do we feel about this? Better, worse, or just the same?
Yeah, I feel better. He's a veteran. He has made a lot of kicks. I don't know. He obviously has had issues off the field. I don't know all of them, so I'll let you dig into that as a reporter and as a journalist. You should. Mm-hmm. You should go dig into that and understand why he was available. But the fact is, it seems as if he was cleared and all of that stuff is in the past. And if that is the case, I think it's an upgrade. It also is a reminder, for as much as I want to consistently lavish praise on my guy, he's bungled this scenario. Goody has not handled the kicking situation well. It's been, you know, depending on who you want to look at as far as who decided to put their bucket on Anders and not continue to keep Mason or to do whatever. All of those things should be scrutinized, because this position for the last year and six games has been a complete blank. Cluster blank, if you know what I mean. And
I do know what you
the
mean.
Confidence in what it was. And I thought last year at this time it wasn't a big deal. We're a 2-5 football team. And Anders wasn't even that bad. He was much better than what Narvi's been. So that position, which is a critical position, I know it's like, God, you talk a lot about kickers. Because if I really want to be honest, the rest of this roster is really strong everywhere. Tell me where there's a weakness, and I'll tell you I think you're full of baloney. kicker has been it, and he has not solved that riddle. And to his credit, he has not stood pat and said, well, we're going to – I think Narvi's going to be good enough. He's going to be good enough. He's going to be good enough. And somebody asked what the pain point was. Seems like it was last weekend. I think Matt LaFleur probably felt like it a couple weeks ago. And I think Goody finally has acquiesced and said, you know what, I can't just stand pat. And if we lose a game because I wasn't constantly looking to upgrade a spot I knew we needed to, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. This is the, again, coaches, GMs, they have a lot of stress. They want to be able to sleep. They want to trust what they're doing. And I would bet there's more trust in Brandon McManus kicking right now than there has been in anyone else that has kicked here for the last 18 months. That would be my guess.
So he has kicked in a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50, made 3 field goals in that game as the Broncos beat the Panthers. He's 33 years old, so I would say that this is a finish out the season and hope you don't have to change kickers again type scenario, but probably not a long-term answer. Maybe they see Alex Hale as that guy, but they decided enough was enough with Braden Narveson, which is what I asked Rich Bisaccia several weeks ago. He's doing the same thing that you cut Anders for, missing one kick a game, except, of course, the Minnesota game, in which he missed 2, and they didn't cut him after the Minnesota game. Now, McManus was, I don't want to say cleared, the NFL found insufficient evidence to move forward with any sort of discipline. He is still being sued, I believe.
And what is going on? What is he sued for? What is the why did they release? Why did the Jags say Adusa's BM?
So the Jags did not re-sign him, but he was sued in May by 2 flight attendants from a team flight to London, and the 2 flight attendants alleged that he tried to kiss one of them and was grinding and whatever elsing up against both of them during the flight, and he had been, he was drunk.
Okay.
Now his lawyer in an AP story
that was by the way, I was not chuckling at the allegations. I was chuckling at your uber weird descriptions of them.
That's straight from the Associated Press.
I understand. I know you love reading on the radio. That was super awkward to listen to.
Well, you asked what he had done. I delivered the information.
That is totally on you for asking what he did.
I agree. It's on me. I'm taking accountability. Continue.
Clearly. So he had actually signed as a free agent with the Washington Commanders.
Okay.
Who then cut him.
Because of these allegations.
Because of this civil suit. And
where's the line that we have as so if he was charged criminally, would Goody have signed him? He still had a pending investigation.
I don't think if he had a criminal charge pending that he would have signed him, though. No. Do you?
I do not. And I think, as my late father used to always say, talent outs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we forget. Everybody now raves about Tyreek Hill. Dude, did some bad things, allegedly. And I don't even know if it's – I have to even say allegedly. I remember Jesse saying he'll never draft him on his fantasy team because of the things he did, and then I'm sure he still has drafted him. And now everybody is just, oh, yeah, he's great. It's funny how that works. And it's when I mean it's funny, I mean it's not funny.
Odd.
It's opposite.
Curious.
It's super – I just want – there's a lot of times, and I want people to be able to move on with their lives. I do. But I also don't want to be selective based on, well, how good that player is. I know that's not the real world. Because if it was, Tyreek Hill wouldn't be in the NFL. If we're being honest, he wouldn't be.
No. And Kareem Hunt wouldn't have gotten another opportunity either after what he did. Look, Ray Rice is, I think, the only one who ever... Because there was video of it,
and by the way, if Ray Rice was still on a rookie deal and a younger player, I don't think that even happened, even with the video. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong, but I probably wouldn't be.
Yeah, so to be clear and to be fair, to Brandon McManus. What he allegedly did does not rise anywhere close to these other people that we're talking about.
Agreed. So now, I don't know about you. I don't have a problem if this is, again, there's always more information could come out. I don't have access to that. As we sit here right now, I don't think with the allegations and the fact that he was not tried or that case is done and it's all civil, the fact that you needed a kicker, he's available, and you think he is going to help your football team, I am not going to be, you know, holier than thou and say, well, you shouldn't sign him. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't think that's fair.
We will discuss whether this is an improvement and how you feel about it.
I mean, it has to be.
The guy's career accuracy on field goal attempts is 81.4%.
And what's old boy kicking right now?
70.6.
That's 11 points.
You know what?
Somebody at the analytics firm could say, well, 11 percentage points is pretty good.
Now, Anders missed far too many extra points last year. But you know what his accuracy was on field goals? 80.6.
It's right around
McManus. So it's a negligible difference on the field goal attempts. So, again, take that for what it's worth. We'll talk more about this and far more things as the Packers get ready for the Houston Texans.
I've been watching this whole artificial intelligence thing. That's the, you know, the Tesla put out those robots last week. Mm-hmm. They had somebody kicking field goals. You imagine if you sign a robot kicker? Like, what happens there? What happens if the, and I know this sounds crazy, and I get it, because it is crazy, but we're not far off from saying, you know what? We're up against the cap. We have to pay him a minimum, or her, whoever the robot is.
It.
And that robot comes out and is just money, never going to miss. Is it crazy?
What if the robot's upset with its role?
I don't know. I mean, you saw that whole robot deal the other day. It's impressive. The accuracy, they could tune that in to be 100% accurate. And all of a sudden now you got so-and-so robot kicking a game winner down at Chicago to try to win a championship.
How on earth, other than the fact that you love Elon Musk inexplicably.
No, I appreciate the efforts of what he does innovation-wise. Stop. That's what I'm saying. He is an innovator.
How does someone who is so anti-big tech interrupt the flow of the show to ask about the possibility?
Is that taking my information, or is that making me? This is nothing to do with my own personal liberties and free. This is about a robot making a kick.
That's how it starts. First, you let them kick field goals. Then you have them in your house.
I know it sounds crazy.
And you're trying to bake an apple pie, and then they turn red, and they tell you you can't leave the house.
Hey, you know what? You're probably right, and I'm not saying that we should go out and sign a robot. But I'm also saying let's make sure that we got our eyes out there, and if something goes on, let's be first in. And try it. Training camp robot kicking.
If you want to avoid any plagiarized takes like we were debating yesterday, you being the first in line to say the Packers should sign a robot to be the new kicker
should.
Is
I
a
said
good
they
take.
Should start thinking, is this going to be allowed? I don't know. I would think it's probably not.
So just promise me, just tell me this was a shtick, right? Because you don't think that was an actual robot kicking those field goals on that video,
not right?
Not right
now, but you don't think that that's where this is headed?
Okay, I just wanted to make sure
you
didn't think
that your guy... No, but I'm saying, you don't think that in 2 or 3 years, there's going to be some kind... You remember the old movie with the Gus, the kicking mule?
I do remember that film. It's a classic.
The mule never missed, right? He was a great kicker from Lord knows all over the place. And we all laughed. And that mule in the movie was it on the team. That movie could be so far ahead where down the road this is something. Now, I doubt the NFL lets it happen, but I don't know. No, neither do you. It would be crazy.
And to get out from the Deshaun Watson deal, the Browns are going to sign Air Bud to play quarterback next year.
Well, I think quarterbacking is going to be a lot more difficult than having a
don't
robot.
Don't be silly,
like,
Jesse.
Don't be crazy with
a
robot.
Come on.
Yeah, come on.
God, I love my job. I mean, seriously, dealing with Tausch's random non sequiturs like signing a robot
kicker. Jason, in all seriousness, if robotics makes its way, and we all see robotics are coming. That whole Boston Dynamics thing from 60 Minutes like 8 years ago where they're doing backflips off and they had all – I freaked out. I'm like, just wait a second. We're here? Wow. Now, all of a sudden, you see this whole thing last week. If you're going to – place kicker would be the first place that you would want a robot. You even keeled. Going to make everything. That is where you would want a robot. Would be there.
First of all, I'm being told in the YouTube comment section that Francis was the name of the mule, not Gus.
I swore there was a Gus that did
something.
I've heard
it both ways.
I'm going to trust.
There was a Gus that did something.
Yeah,
I'll
trust the YouTube comments that it was Francis.
I'll get on that. Francis the Kicking Mule.
Is that that wasn't the movie Kathy Ireland was in, right? That was a different football movie?
That was Necessary Roughness.
Great flick, by the way. Like that movie. Tom Bakula, or Bakula, Dennis Bakula.
Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula.
Not to be confused with Scott Thompson, who you call Craig Thompson, who is going
who
to
sounds
be
like he's paying for the full flesh of the
Jeff
wedding.
Jeff Monroe's son-in-law, son's father-in-law.
Sounds like he's all covering all the costs. Probably going to get robotic waiters, would be my guess for that.
All I know is that I am a people person. I enjoy interacting with other humans.
Oh, you would be lining up to interview that robot. Who are you kidding? The first robotic kicker, you're going to tell me you're going to go interview Rudy Ford instead of going and talking to the robotic kicker? Come on.
It's a chance. But I would much rather talk to a sleek Gina Della about Windows than some sort of robotic Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin representative.
That we can agree on. Get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The durability of materials gets tested. They open and close the doors, the latches, and the shades tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass, and right now you get zero interest for up to 36 months. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends October 31st. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
All right. I thought that I was managing the clock in a very adept manner so we could get to Bulaga
on
time.
In fairness, you brought up robotics. I didn't. And then I just took it to another level.
I did?
I don't think I did. I want to think that you did.
Did you see this robotic kicker? He's kicking field goals, I believe is what you said. Be that as it may, less robotics, more Packers. Next, it's Will Dietausch.
At Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back.
Put a bow on our robot talk, or is there anything
now,
else you'd like to add?
There was a lot of conversation with the, you know, Joshy and some of the other texters on our little chain about like putting a defensive end as a robot, and that's just crazy talk. I mean, the robotics and the metal, like, that's just not going to happen. Place kicking. And my point is, coaching has already become a little robotic with all the analytics and all of the data that gets piled in. It's not. Oh, no, no. Trust me, I know it's not the same.
Okay.
But I am saying coaches are relying on artificial intelligence and on data and on machines pumping out all of these stats and what they should do, what they shouldn't do. And I think the kicking. Yeah, it was Gus with Don Knotts. Thank you, Jesse. Or thank you, Dan.
That, yes, and Dan and Chilton points out, for those of you that are not watching the video stream and shout, you just hear Tausch shouting, yeah, Gus, yeah, Dan. Gus the Mule was in the Disney movie, creatively titled Gus with Don Knotts. Not a kicking mule, just, I believe, a talking mule.
Just wait, that mule didn't kick? I screwed up. I don't know the other movie. With Francis. This was the movie because Gus was talking to Don Knotts all the time. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, and Jesse, I want to apologize. I know we've had some fun discussions with Craig / and Jeff and Monroe. They're going to do Scott. They're going. It's not all. I know it's not all going to be paid one side. I took one of my awkward moments and have tried to have a little fun with it. So Jeff, I know.
You just, are making Jeff sound kind of like he's just
Jeff
making
is, listen,
his buddy
Jeff's
do
a Hall
everything.
Of Famer in my books. Jeff should be a Hoffer, and that's in a small class. He should be a Hoffer. And I want to make sure I like to set the record straight when we're doing it.
After you've.
I didn't besmirch him. I'm not besmirching.
Maybe.
How is that besmirching him? All right, let's move
you
on.
Made him sound like a cheapskate.
He's not, though. We know. We
well, now that you've
well,
now
I clarified the record.
That.
Thank you, Jeff, for calling and letting us know. But I think that was. Right. I thought it was kind of known, but I just want
to
make sure.
I want to get to Brian Bulaga somewhat on time. It's already 9:30. So let me just ask you the two questions about the kicking situation. We'll ask Brian these two. First of all, this comes from Dave, and I thought this is an interesting point that he made in the YouTube comments.
I love how hooked on YouTube comments you are. No, I love it.
You
I
have asked me to and you're doing upgrade our engagement in the digital realm, and I feel like joining the conversation, even if it means that some jerks are in there.
I have to figure out how I can do that. I'll have Jesse. I'll occasionally scroll and
if
see
I may.
Okay. All right.
Dave, I think I might have more of an issue with mismanaging the kicking position badly enough to be this desperate to sign a guy like McManus who has this issue outstanding than I do with the signing itself. Agree or disagree?
I've said Goody has bungled this kicking situation, and it is on Goody. It's not on, I mean, you could say, well, Rich Bisaccia won it. Well, tough luck. Like the results... You're judged off of the players that you bring in and how they fit with your coaches. It hadn't worked. So for as much as I am sitting here, and I saw somebody on, I don't know if it was the YouTube comments or something Jesse or Pablo threw up on the screen and knew would distract me, that mm-hmm. the tight end position isn't good. Did you see Ben Sims? We have a stud in Tucker Kraft, and you got Benny Sims, who's a Steinhoffler, and the guy that's supposed to be the guru who's hurt with Luke Musgrave. So, no, I'm not going to put tight end in some weak category that Goody has put together.
I wouldn't either.
The place kicker, hey, Ned, I know Ned gets after me a lot.
Ned and
Twitter.
Retired Navy fella. Yeah.
Well, big retired Navy fella, I think we got a good thing going. He's irritated with me, and I kind of like that. I have no problem with Navy fella. He loves you. He loves you. He loves the show. I'm fine with it. Ned gets after me about being a Goody stan. And my point is, I've been right. So you can get after me. Goody's done a great job, except for kicking. The kicking position has been bungled in a big way. And hopefully, old boy here can bail him out. And kicking 81% ain't going to bail him out. Oh, he needs to be upper 80s, low 90s to me in order to be that kicker, that veteran kicker that you feel good about. What are you shaking your head about? Something in the YouTube comments?
I have to apologize.
To whom?
To you.
Oh, I love this.
I hate it.
There is nothing better than what I think is coming right now.
The ombudsman, Rob Vogel.
Oh.
Informs. Anytime you get a text and the only words on the text are, Tausch is correct, it's just like a punch in the stomach.
That is literally like manna coming from the heavens.
Apparently, this film with Don Knotts and the kicking mule is indeed Gus.
Thank you. Okay. Jesse, I want an apology from you, too.
I
appreciate it. You smugly got after me about that whole kicking mule thing.
I've never heard of either of these things, and I haven't said anything about the mule.
Gus is a 1976 American sports comedy film released by Walt Disney Productions. About a football-playing mule. The film did well at the box office and was released on home video in 1981.
So it had a four-year run at the theater? Wow.
I don't know. Maybe home video wasn't available in 1977 after it was done in the theaters.
Would that be available since it's a Disney movie?
I will fact-check whether or not it is on Disney Plus. We can have like a Wildy and Tausch
watch
movie
party.
Night.
No, we could do a movie watch party.
Right. I know. That's where I was headed. Thank you for interrupting. And we could have all of our fans come and watch Gus the Kicking Mule starring Don Knotts at a local theater near you. We'll do a double feature with that and just a bit outside. Tausch, I am going to demand something of you.
Okay.
When Prize Picks posts a projection for Brandon McManus field goals made, I order you, not order you, I ask nicely that you play that.
I will.
Thank you for your service.
And I'm guessing it'll be 1.5, just like Narvi. Narvi was good to OLT on Prize Picks. He made a lot of kicks. He missed a lot of kicks, but he made a lot of kicks. Narvi did. And if it wasn't for Kyler Murray landing 0.5 short on his over on his more last week, OLT would add another W on Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Over 10 million users. Prize Picks is the easiest, most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do, pick more or less. 2 to 6 player stat projections, and you can watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your buddies. Become part of the Prize Picks community today. Can win now up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Prize Picks, the best way to win real money this football season. Make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. Sign up today, get $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't even need to win to get the $50 bonus. Download the app today, use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run
your
game.
I am here to report that on Disney Plus, which I've also gotten a notification that the price is going up for me when I logged in.
Isn't there? There's not Gus, any like. It's not like grandfathered in. Like you can lock in at this price for
Gus,
5 years.
Gus is available on Disney Plus. 1 hour and 38 minutes of magic.
It's 1 hour 38 only?
Yeah.
So they're so far ahead of their time. They knew this attention deficit deal that we have in 2024 would be played. We're going to do a watch party, Zoom. Jesse will have to figure out how to do that. Or maybe we'll, when Pablo gets cleared, Pablo's first job will be to do this show because you're too busy, obviously. And now that you're skinny and sleek, you're going to be too busy.
We are done talking about Gus. It's 9:37.
Thanks.
Brian Bulaga will be on until about 11:15. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
To discuss the merits of Gus the Kicking Mule, the idea of robots and what they would do to your salary cap, and the Packers' kicking change to neither a donkey nor a robot.
Well, how do we know? How do we know Blue on that donkey farm isn't training a couple donkeys to be the kicker?
Well, I figured
Blue's
he'd be the right guy to ask.
Now. He's a businessman. He's probably training a couple to see if they can't, you know, find a Gus that could come up and fix all of the Packers' kicking problems.
America needs farmers, and this show needs Brian Bulaga. Hi, Brian. Help.
Hey. You know, better late than never. You know, Jesse making me get ready by the computer at 10:25, and you know, I remember whenever I fill in for Tausch when he's you know, maybe jet setting in Napa or, you know, Jesse runs a pretty hard line on Jason and I on scheduling. Like, I mean, we get it in there. Hey, let's pick it up. You know, like, or we're cutting here. And, you know, it just seems when he tells me to be by the computer at 10:25 to be ready to go, it's always just a touch late. So, hey, it's okay, though.
Sorry, we were discussing Gus the Kicking Donkey.
I'm going to make you a promise. We will get to you no later than 9:33/10:33, your time. I will cut my robot talk short.
Next time. And I'll believe it when I hear it.
I did listen to everything because I, like I said, I logged in at 10:25, so I heard.
What did you think?
I heard all of it.
It's good to know what you're getting into.
What'd you think, Blue?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Listen, I mean, I don't know what to think about, like, because I don't know the context of all of it, so I was a little lost at the start.
Me too, and I knew the context.
Yeah. So like. Listen, I mean, that's why this show is great, because you guys are able to go on tangents on things that I just don't sometimes get. But that's why this show's so good.
Great. Yeah,
I mean,
great.
That's the thing. You know.
So, all right. So let's get down to it, because people want to hear about the Green Bay Packers on this show. And we talked about it in the opening, got a little robotic and a little other things. But I believe Goody has built a hell of a roster in Green Bay. I think, and when you look at the trades, the way Devontae and Aaron Rodgers, that's all part of that build. He's utilized those picks. He's gotten really good players. And then the kicking position has been his Achilles heel. It has been the weak spot for him and for this football team. And now another move. I think this will be the final move. I don't think, unless something injury related, I think this is going to be your guy the rest of the way. What do you make of the whole kicking scenario from drafting Anders to where we're at today?
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be tough to replace Mason. Now, you can always say, like, did he get rid of him a year too soon? Or, you know, I guess that could be debated as well. But it's always hard to replace a kicker that was so reliable for so long. And was also really liked by the fan base and people in the state of Wisconsin and Green Bay. But you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. Like, it just hasn't been approached the right way. And it's hard to draft a good just field player, like, right, just like an offensive lineman or a linebacker or a DB. It's hard to draft those guys. It's even harder to try to draft a kicker and have him be successful, right? And that was the deal with Anders. Like, he had potential, but then I remember going looking back, or I think Homer did, and looked at Anders' percentage in college, and it really wasn't that good, right? So now you're drafting a kicker who doesn't really have great numbers in college to be successful in the NFL. Didn't translate. Kind of the same story for Narveson. Didn't have great numbers in college, expected to translate in the NFL, and it doesn't. Like, so now I think the route he's went with a veteran kicker, and I understand there's a lot, like, there's controversy behind this pick, right? I mean, this isn't something Green Bay normally does with guys that have had issues, even though he's been cleared by the NFL, right? Like, I get that. This isn't a move that Green Bay makes, but it shows, A, what Goody thinks this team can be, and he thinks this team can be a Super Bowl-type team. So he's looking at it as, if the NFL's cleared him, there's really no baggage that comes along with, besides some questions that we have to answer. And what we can refer to is the NFL has done their investigation on it. We've done our investigation on it. And this is where we're at. It shows that he wants to win, and he does not want a kicker to cost them a game.
He wants to be able to sleep at night.
Like it has in the past.
He wants to be able to sleep at night. He doesn't want to look at 52 dudes in that locker room and the coaches and say, I let you down. I wasn't proactive in trying to do it. And I could agree more. Yes. We are a Super Bowl team right now, and we are not going to let one spot weigh us down. That's what this move means to me.
Yes, 100%. And, like, the thing is, McManus, I've played many games against him. The dude was all, like, you always thought when he took the field he was going to make his kicks. Like, that's what you thought when you played Denver. You were like, all right, this guy's going to be probably good from, I get it was in Denver with the elevation, but he's going to be good from like 57 and in. Like, he's got a strong leg. He's a good kicker. So you're getting a guy that has a lot of experience, that has won a Super Bowl. I believe he was on the Super Bowl winning team with Manning. A lot of experience. He understands being put in a big team in big situations that has a lot of kind of, you know, a lot of expectation on it. So, like, I think this is a good move. And listen, this is a guy, too. he's coming in with the chip on his shoulder as well, right? There's a lot of things that have happened over the last year and the investigation that he's gone through and, you know, proven innocent by the NFL or no wrongdoing. I don't know if we talk about innocence or not. I guess Indeed. That's not the NFL's job. That's, but proven by the NFL that no wrongdoing was done, or so to speak, he's got a chip on his shoulder because, like, he can still kick. He can still play. He wants to get back into this league, and this is his opportunity. And what does he make of it? I think it's a good move. Yes, there's some controversy behind it, but you know what? Like, who are we to judge what the NFL – I mean, we can judge it, but, like, we don't know what happened. We can only go based on what the NFL has conducted, and what they've conducted is that there was nothing – no wrongdoing. Now, Jason, I know what you're going to say. There could be legal ramifications. Yes, I understand that. Like, we don't know everything about that.
I wasn't going to say it. Well, yeah, I was. You're right.
Oh, you were going to say it. But, like, Green Bay did their due diligence on it as well. You know they had to. Like, they definitely did their research on it, and they dove into it. And what they came away with was, we're going to sign them. So we can only trust that what the information that we know and that Green Bay – because, like – Jason, you've been covering the team for a long time. Tausch, you play with the team. I play with the team. They don't sign guys that are going to have an issue legally, or at least presently. They're not going to do that. They're very responsible.
Yeah, so I would say a couple things. I've always said this. Your willingness to take a, and I'm using this term loosely, a character risk on a player is directly proportional to how badly you need someone at that position, right? And Tausch, it was before Brian got here, but the Packers signed Corin Robinson, which was a controversial thing. He had been suspended by the league. He will tell you this, he was an alcoholic, and there were issues with him. But in one game, I think maybe against Minnesota, if I remember correctly, like, you guys had three wide receivers all get hurt in the same game. That was the game where Driver, like, landed on his head and suffered a neck injury. And so they signed Corin Robinson. And I'll never forget Cliff Kristol, who was writing for the Journal Sentinel at the time, later became the Packers historian, asking Ted Thompson, what are you going to do if this guy drives drunk and kills somebody? Which I have never heard a direct question at that level ever in my life. But they were at a point of desperation, and you played with him. He was your teammate. I don't think he was a bad guy. He had a drinking problem. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think he was a terrible human being. Now, that said, I don't know anything about Brandon McManus and whether he's a good guy, bad guy, anything. But the fact that they were willing to sign him in spite of this baggage speaks to, one, how very few options there are on the open market, and two, they realize that they can't keep doing the same thing, trotting Braden Narveson out there like he's Justin Tucker, because he's not.
And Justin Tucker's having a tough year.
And he is, in fairness. Exactly.
So you're right. You're always going to – you want to do things the right way all the time. And I think the Packers have done a great job of trying to bring in high-character cats. They don't want to go down this road. You go down that road when you don't think there's any other options.
Right.
And not to try and put McManus in with all, you know, all of the other – I don't know. So I'm not going to go down that road. But what I do know is if there was a better option that did not have any baggage that went along with them, they would go down that road. That's not where they're at. And I think it just continues to reiterate, and I thought Brian brought it up beautifully in the beginning of his segment here. This is a Super Bowl team. Goody knows it, and Goody wants to be able to sleep at night and say, I'm doing everything I can. I know this spot isn't good enough. I'm going to go do this, and this is what we're – and that's a very hard thing for someone that has an ego in this business to continue to admit, I have not gotten this right yet. And he's doing that.
All right. So we're going to continue with Brian. We're going to, because we did such a great job of managing the clock, we're going to take a break now. Then we'll take another break. And then he's going to stick around all the way to 10:15, 11:15 his time, because he's such a good teammate. I want you to consider two questions during the break. One,
How great was that Penny Sewell block that we saw? And I know I saw Blue also shared it on Twitter. It's unbelievable.
Okay, this is how this happens.
Is that not unbelievable, Blue? And I know we're on the clock. I understand. Unbelievable.
It is. Could you just save it until tackle talk?
I'm teasing it. Yeah, I just it was such a beautiful thing to see.
Wait, there's another segment before. No, stop.
Okay.
Please.
And by the way, Zach Tom did something similar on a play action where he went down and felt comfortable enough. He stopped on the three tech for 2-3 seconds and then kicked back out and did the same thing. Continue. My bad.
Is it possible that they just gave up on Anders Carlson too early? I want you to consider that from the kicking perspective. And then the other kicking question. I looked up Brandon McManus's numbers because, you know, we do a lot of fact-checking around here. On 50-plus field goals for his career, I don't know how this compares to other kickers, but he is 45 of 82.
That doesn't seem great.
Which is 54.9%.
Well, he kicked in the mile high.
Woof! Doesn't sound great, Bob. We'll talk a little more about kickers, and then we'll get to Penei Sewell and tackle toss.
Such a good play.
More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know I'm here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga. All right, I don't want to spend any more time talking about kickers. Thank you.
I'm with you. I agree.
What is with you today?
I'm in a good mood. What?
Oh, is that what that is?
Fair enough. Try it sometime. It's fun.
Oh, sick burn, bro. Brian, I am curious I want to get to tackle talk, and I want to make sure I get to Penei Sewell, how amazing he is, obviously. That's a key component of today's program, with a couple of right tackles who wish they had gotten the paychecks that he did. But what do you think about where this team is as it heads into the Texans game? The conversation after Sunday's game with a number of players was this team feels like it's ready to pop, feels like it's ready to go on a run, feels like it's rounding into form, mid-season form, if you will. When you watch the tape, when you watch this offense, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I like where they're at, and I think seeing Jordan Love get healthier as this goes on, you kind of see the offense start to play better. He's doing more things within the pocket and out of the pocket that helps this offense be as explosive as it can be. So, and we caught a glimpse of that, you know, Sunday against the Cardinals. Now, this will probably be, and I get the Vikings are undefeated and they're a good football team. I really believe that. And I get that the Vikings beat the Texans and beat them pretty good. Mm-hmm. But this will probably be the second biggest test next to the Vikings game, which we all saw the way that played out for Green Bay. They had a chance late in the game, but it was, you know, the damage was done in the first half. This game against Houston is going to be a great litmus test for what those guys are saying, that, you know, we're ready to jump or make that big jump and go on a streak here. Like, these are the games you need to win and show everyone that, hey, We're ready to go here. Like, this is a team that we're getting our act together. We feel good about where we're at. Now we're going to have a team. I think, what are the Texans, 5-1?
Yep.
I think,
yes.
Or they,
yes. 5-1. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You got a 5-1 team coming in at home. This is the time to show it. Like, I understand that Arizona, people may say, oh, they weren't as good.
Wilde was saying that all week.
I was saying that.
They think you can't do anything off of it. That's what he said.
I mean, they beat the 49ers the week before.
Thank you.
And the 49ers, regardless of the, I think they're a good team. I still think the 49ers are a good team. And I get it. They don't have all their main guy, which is McCaffrey. But this, to me, this test against the Texans is going to show us a lot about where the team is at offensively and defensively. Because I think, I mean, to be honest with you, like, it's going to be fun to watch because DeMeco Ryans' defense is very similar to Halfley's defense. So LaFleur is essentially looking at his own defense when he's on offense, and our defense is looking very – and they're not the same, but very similar to what Houston likes to do. So you're almost like when Iowa plays Wisconsin, you're getting these mirror image teams that play each other, and it's like who executes the best. That's essentially what you're getting this week because Houston does a lot of the same things that Green Bay does offensively and defensively. So this is like, yes, it's about the players and what the players do on the field, but this is a very big scheme game for LaFleur as well and for Halfley to figure out how to match up against these teams because they do things very similarly on both sides of the ball. So it's going to be an exciting, intriguing match. And the Houston's no slouch. They got good players on both sides of the football. So this is going to be a fun game to watch.
I am excited to watch it because you got good teams. Quarterbacks are on the same trajectory. Both, I think everybody looks at it as a young star on the rise. You know, with Stroud only being in his second year, but they're both second-year starters. It's a great litmus test, but to what Jason was saying, there is no doubt. I think this team, you gain confidence by having success. This team finally had what I think is a full four-quarter offense, defense, special teams game that they all put together. They all contributed, did it, and now they build off of that. And that's why I'm excited to see, because this is a good football team coming in here. What is it, a winter warning game? Is that what they're calling it with the all-white unis and the helmets?
Yeah, it looks like the weather's going to cooperate too, because I would think it's hard for you to say, oh, we're going to all wear white, but then if it's like 40 degrees, it makes it a little bit harder to do
that. Yeah, I was skeptical because they're doing it so early, but that actually makes a ton of sense. The Packers know what they're doing when it comes to making money and being smart business folks. Man, they know what they're doing too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right.
Is it supposed to be bad weather or something on Sunday?
No, but it was like 49 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, if it was cold, they'd have to. Everybody wears blaze orange and camo. It's a lot tougher to find a all winter, unless you're sleek like Jesse. It's really hard to find like the white coat with white pants and just all white outed.
Yeah.
Here, if it's 78 degrees, you can find a bunch.
I hated the all white uniforms. I will say,
and you are a muscular dude. Yeah, if you're a little chubbier, white sucks. Like it's not a good look.
Yeah,
Jason and I know what we're talking about.
Maybe they'll do a blackout because black is slimming next year. All right, I want to get to tackle talk. Whenever Tausch tweets something, we know that it has struck a chord with him, and he was tweeting this morning about Penei Sewell.
Such an athletic play.
So you would say, Tausch, before we talk about him, that you would raise an ice-cold Blue Mountain Coors Light in his honor.
He is one of the best, but I'm going to tell you this. Zach Tom he's coming. Winter's coming. Zach Tom is coming as an elite right tackle. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold-filtered, and cold-packaged, so it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp. It's only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light when I choose and I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And when we bring Brian back after a two-minute sports center, I am intrigued to find out, because we ran for 179 yards last week, I'm interested. He breaks the tape down like nobody. I want to hear what he thought of the run game with Josh Jacobs, because the pass protection was beautiful. But I'm curious to hear what Brian has to say about how the fellas did up front in the run game on Sunday. And we'll do that in 2 minutes.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.